official at workstation. North Shore 104.9 WBOQ Gloucester.
The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, just across the now empty lot, which is the North Shore Mall, and the empty restaurant below, which is Alto Forno, hopefully both to be filled to the gills as soon as the doors reopen and we can get back to business and back to work. How are you doing? It's been a few weeks since the coronavirus really has broken out, and we've taken precautionary steps across the board where we are now operating out of our homes. And joining me on the radio today is my business partner, Marion Gilman. Marion, how are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you, Mark?
I'm good. We're kind of Zooming at the same time, so I can see you sitting in your office or wherever that might be. We've all kind of created our own little offices here at our houses, haven't we?
The technology's great, though. It's really wonderful that we have all of this now, and we can see each other. We can talk to each other. It's fabulous.
Yeah, maybe we won't go back to the office.
Oh, there you go.
No, God, I want to go back to the office so bad. Oh, man. It's kind of nice, you get up and you walk around and there's the refrigerator there and you can open up and somehow it seems to continue to be stocked with food because we have so many people living in our house right now. But I would much prefer to be at the office.
Well, I have to say, sheltering in place or quarantining is one thing, but quarantining without gaining any weight is something else.
That is a challenge all to itself. I mean, man, the next couple of days, it looks like it's going to be rainy and chilly. We've been trying to get out and go for some walks and get out and about, but we might be really sheltering in place the next few days, I think.
Going stir crazy then.
A little bit. Well, we will do our best. We have three of the kids at home. Two of them are still at off-campus housing where they're in college. So we're managing with five of us in the house, and we got plenty of room, fortunately. So everybody
sounds good.
They can. Yeah, so we had an interesting, if we think back last week we did this show live and the market had dropped, I don't know, it feels like 80%, but it dropped about, close to 20% in a week. And we decided to do this show live and take live calls. And if you're listening to Dollars and Cents today and you'd like to call in with some questions or concerns that you have, our phone number, 800-370-1049, that's 800-370-1049. We're here to answer your questions. If you just want to vent, if you want to share some thoughts, we're here to offer some perspectives to you. But 2 weeks ago when we did this show, last Sunday when we did this show, the market was heading in one direction and that was down. And this week, it seemed to show some nice indications of responding a little bit, except for Friday, of course.
It was the best week since the 1930s, I read. So isn't that wonderful? I think we ended the week up about just over 10%,
Yeah. Which
is not a bad thing, even though we did see some decline on Friday.
Yeah, one of the things that we've noticed is that, at the worst, I think the market so far has been down about 34-35% from its high. And Right. Now we're sitting around, down about 22-23%. The S&P is down 22% as of Friday's close.
Right. Yeah. I mean, not great, but you know what? It could be much worse. So we're fortunate. We've seen some recovery. And once we have a little more clarity, I hoping that we will see a lot more recovery.
I had said a few weeks ago that we'll know that we get the all clear when Disney World decides to open its doors.
And I think that might be a little ways off.
Well, yeah, Disney World made a statement. They were hoping to open up next week, next Sunday, and then they just made a statement that they are closed indefinitely until they have further notice, which is probably the right approach to take. I see that they're not accepting. You can't even make hotel reservations at Disney World now until June 1st. That they made that announcement this past week. That doesn't mean that they won't open before June 1st, but to start to make reservations and then having to see people cancel them, they're at least looking at June 1st as a date when for certain they're going to be open for business. And perhaps sometime in May, they'll start taking reservations again, maybe even as late as April, but I doubt it. I was reading some of the Disney websites that's talking about how the company hasn't put out schedules for folks. So, you know, if you don't have a work schedule and they haven't reset the place, it's going to take a little while. So those are some of the real indicators that'll tell us when we're starting to see life. You know that the president also made this announcement where he's looking at doing a phased reopening.
And, you know, that's not a bad idea because I think there are certain people who probably could go back to work. And certainly if you're able to distance yourself at work, then it's, you know, not a bad thing. And there are some people that are less susceptible. I mean, certainly we want to keep the elderly and those with compromised immune systems quarantined for a longer period of time than maybe those who are younger, very, very healthy, and show no symptoms.
Oh, my goodness. I was just watching. I just freaked out sitting in my chair. We're doing the Zoom call. And I looked over my corner, and it looks like it's my daughter, Alana,
looking over my shoulder.
Can you see that picture?
Yes.
She's through the door. There's an opening to the door, and there's a picture there. I thought she was staring over my shoulder. I'm going, what the heck is she doing home? She's supposed to be in Rhode Island.
I know. I was looking at it, too. I'm looking at it going, wait a minute. Is Alana sitting there?
That just freaked me out. I'm sorry. I got very distracted there for a minute. Anyway. Yeah. If you haven't looked, the University of John Hopkins University has a really good website on this coronavirus, and for you to be able to see how the spread is working all throughout the world. And you can zoom into different areas, pick a country, pick an area to see how many deaths there have been, how many cases there have been. But what you can see is as you zoom in through the United States, you can see there are significant pockets, primarily in the Midwest, where there are very little and limited pockets. Now, granted, the population is far smaller over there as well, even though they do have much larger spaces, and I think it's just their nature to social distance. But but I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see some openings, not this week, not next week, but perhaps, you know, mid part of April, we start to see some changes coming. And I think that'll be great for the economy. It'll be great for human nature to see that there is a reality that we are going to turn the corner here. You know, if you sit and watch these news channels, it'll scare the life out of you.
Right. We're never going out again.
No, I know. So I'm curious, Marion, have you been eating out at all?
Eating out?
Yeah. Not eating out, getting takeout.
All the restaurants are closed.
I know. Have you been getting takeout? Or have you been cooking?
We have, yes. Have you?
Yeah, we have. And just for our listeners, just as a reminder, if you do have a question, if you want to talk about monies, markets, myths, anything like that, give us a call, 800-370-1049. That's 800-370-1049. I have been finding that, yeah, we've been doing some takeout orders, but the takeout places we've been going to or the traditional takeout places we've always gone to, I'm having a difficult time wrapping my head around going to a restaurant which I'm used to sitting down at and enjoying the meal there and having them package it up and bring it home.
Well, it's interesting. We actually did get some takeout from a restaurant we typically go to and sit down in. And I actually went to pick it up. So when you walk in, their tables are all, you know, the chairs are on top of the table. So everything's like sort of folded up. And there were several people waiting for orders, and they were all standing very distant from one another. So it's interesting. They had their Purell on the counter. They were really set up for takeout. They had changed their... They actually always do a lot of takeout. We just typically sit in the restaurant. We prefer to...
So what restaurant was it, Mary? Let's not keep people...
Oh, it was Sawazdi, which is that Thai restaurant
in Danvers
Square.
Oh. We were actually debating going there, actually.
I'm sorry?
We were actually debating going there last night, actually. Not going there, but getting takeout from there.
Yeah, we got it on Friday night. We got takeout from there. And they always have done a very active takeout business. But we've only once or twice gotten takeout there. But this time, they're catering to the market, and they've done a very good job of it.
So what we've noticed is that this past week, finally, Congress finally agreed to move forward with this this CARES Act, which stands for the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, which finally got signed by the president. I think it was on Friday. It took a little doing, and it's more than 800 pages long. I've not read all of the pages, but I do have a few different fact sheets that have come out of this, and there's a lot of questions people have, whether it relates to unemployment benefits, small business relief, whether it's retirement benefits, some of the rebates that folks are going to get. We've got a bunch of fact sheets that we want to share with you, our listeners. Lot to discuss. There's still a lot of uncertainty around it as well. We can try to give you some guidance, some thoughts. If you have questions and want to ask for some clarification, we encourage you to pick up the phone, call us at 800-370-1049. That's 800-370-1049. I also want to remind you that if you like listening to Dollars and Cents, we've been doing it for 8 years in a row now, right here on 1049. You can get our newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It lands in your inbox every single Friday at 10:30 in the morning. All you need to do is go to our website, freedmanfinancial.com. That's Freedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on the website. You can put in your name, your email address, and any message that you want to put to us, that's fine. And you will start getting our planning pointers, which goes out to more than 7,500 subscribers each and every Friday morning at 10:30 in the morning. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we've got some 2020 CARES Act provisions that we want to share with you, bring you up to date on what's going on and how you may find some liquidity available to you during this challenging time that we're all experiencing. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Freedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Freedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Freedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Freedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Freedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Stop the spread of germs that cause COVID-19. Wash your hands often or use hand sanitizer. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean things that are frequently touched. Cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. Use a tissue or your inner elbow. Stay home if you are sick. Avoid close contact with others. And think ahead about how to take care of yourself and your loved ones. For more information, visit mass.gov/COVID-19.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Freedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Freedman. I'm president and CEO of Freedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, at 41 Cross Street in Peabody. Sorry you can't come and visit us right now. We've shut our doors at our location, just like it seems like 90% of other businesses have. We are working out of our homes, working remotely. I'm joined by my business partner, Marion Gilman, who is also working remotely out of her home. Good morning, Marion.
Good morning.
Hey there. So one of the things that we've done this past week is we ended up reaching out to so many of our clients just to check in, to make sure that they're healthy, that they're safe, and of course, address any concerns that they might have. But one of the things that impressed our clients a lot was the fact that we had built a business continuity plan a couple of years ago that we were able to implement at the beginning of this week. And it really, really has surprised me, and I think you too, Marion, at how efficient and how well this is all working out, right?
It's very different, but absolutely, it's as if we were in the office. I mean, we are able to keep up with all the phone calls, everything that needs to be done. We're able to do it from home, which is wonderful.
Yeah, it's interesting. So we'd have some clients that would call the office, and Sonia or Jody might answer the phone, and through the intercom system, Sonia would say, hey, Mark, so-and-so's on the phone. And then I'd pick up and they said, I thought you guys weren't working in the office. And I said, we're not. The phones, yeah. We have these digital phones. They ring at each other's houses. And it's as if I have an intercom system right now that I could talk to Marion or talk to anybody. It's really, really cool that we can do this.
It's just very strange because a lot of times we would get up and talk to one another as well, since we're relatively close, or yell, actually.
Yeah.
And we can't do that anymore.
No, we can't. It's a little bit different. And but, you know, we were just talking with our producer, Jay, during the break, and he was making the observation that it seems as if, you know, people are now beyond the shock of this whole thing, and we're kind of just kind of settling in. It's like we're getting comfortable being uncomfortable. And that's really where we are for the next few weeks. And, you know, as we talk to clients this week and we've talked to folks about their investment accounts, about their financial plans, their portfolios, they're like, you know, I'd just rather not look at it right now. And I know this will pass and we're just going to stick it out. But for many folks that are listening to this show, there are folks that are without jobs. They've filed unemployment for the very first time in their life. They've found out that they've been laid off or furloughed for the very first time ever. And they might have been working 30, 40, 50 years. And they're not quite sure what to do. Well, this CARES Act provision that just came out tries to address a few issues. And I thought maybe, Marion, we could go over a few of these items and also allow folks to call in if they have questions. Phone number here is 800-370-1049. That's 800-370-1049. But let's first talk about this this check that everybody's going to get. And I think the check is, of course, important. And I think we begin to realize through this tragedy how many people are living paycheck to paycheck.
I think that's truly amazing.
That's been the wake-up call for me when I find out the number of students who rely on a free breakfast and free lunch at the public school because they're not eating, you know, for dinner time. And so many parents just are so stretched so far.
It's horrifying.
Yeah, it's... So, Marion, do you want to go over some of these numbers with regards to this rebate that's going to come out?
So, the first thing to know is that most people in the U.S. will get a check sent to them of $1,200. And there are some income limitations on that. The income limitations are that those who make under $75,000 per year will get the full check. And then as that amount will phase down and fully out if you make $99,000 per year.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. When you think back to some of the shows that we've done in the past, and we've talked about wealth in America, and I presented statistics in the past that if you were making more than $125,000, you were among the top 5% most wealthy Americans in the country. And over $250,000, you're now amongst the top 2% most wealthy in the country. And over $440,000, now you're part of the 1%. What I think we're realizing is that is essentially true, despite the fact that none of us wanted to believe that that was the case. And it has been an enormous wake-up call to so many. But I want to also add, Marion, that 75,000 number as an individual, and I think it's 150 as a married couple. And it does phase out
yes.
For, I think it's $5 for every $100 you make. One of the things that's important, it's not just about your income. So it's what's called the adjusted gross income. And maybe you can explain what adjusted gross income means. Go ahead, Marion, or I'll do it if you want.
Adjusted gross income is slightly different, and it depends on your circumstances. But for instance, if you're earning an income and you've made contributions to a 401k plan, for instance, so if your salary is $75,000, but you've put $20,000 into a 401k, then that amount is the adjusted gross income is less the 401k contributions. It's also less certain deductions that you might be able to take on your tax return for IRA contributions, et cetera.
It also includes, so when you're looking at your 1040, that tax return, it's the number generally that's at the bottom right-hand corner of your tax return. because it includes both wages after you've taken your 401k, plus interest, plus dividends, plus Social Security, plus distributions from your 401k or pensions that you've received.
That's correct.
All of those items all get added up, and that's how you come up with your $75,000 or more. So here's an interesting planning pointer fact for all of you.
You mentioned dividends as well, Mark?
Yeah, dividends and interest,
okay,
sure.
And interest from the bank, yeah.
Right, not tax-free interest. Tax-free interest, I don't believe tax-free interest is included.
You know what, and I'm not sure whether that gets added back in for some...
It does with Social Security calculations.
That's correct. It does get added back in, right.
Yeah, we are not tax preparers, so we're not giving out tax advice here. Just right. Kind of giving you some planning guidelines. But something that's interesting, I'm actually finding it with my daughter, Mindy. So Mindy has not filed her 2019 tax return. And if you have not filed your 2019 tax return yet, and the government has given us the ability to extend that from April 15th now to July 15th. And just so you know, the state of Massachusetts signed off on that as well this Friday. So you have a delay in having to file your taxes. If you didn't file your 2019 tax return, you're able to use the results from your 2018 tax return. And Mindy, my daughter, was a college graduate a year and a half or so ago. And she didn't have much income at all in 2018, but she was on her own and she was filing her own tax return. However, in 2019, she may have had more income that would push her over that $75,000 a year threshold. So she will likely be entitled to a check because her income in 2018 was under $75,000. But in 2019, if she files her tax return, and she hasn't yet, but if the income plus dividends and everything else that goes along with that was over $75,000, she may not be eligible for the full rebate. So you want to be careful. If you haven't filed your tax return yet, give it some consideration. You have the opportunity to do that.
Well, they did say also you can look at, for those who don't have outside income and only get income from an employer, you can look at your 2019 Social Security statement that will show what was reported to the IRS from your employer.
That's right. So you can go to ssa.gov to get that information, right?
Correct. Or if you have your 1090, if you have the W-2 that you receive at the end of the year from your employer, that will also show what your reported income was.
Mm-hmm. But that's reported income. That isn't necessarily the Social Security number would show the adjusted gross income. No, that would just show the earnings. That would just
Correct.
Show earnings.
Yeah. So that's not adjusted gross income, but it might give you a little bit better idea if you were unemployed part of the year in 2018 versus employed for the full year of 2019.
Right, but also involved in these rebates is someone had asked the question, what if I just collect Social Security? What if I don't have earned income? What if I just collect Social Security? Will I be eligible for a check? And the answer is absolutely yes.
It goes by adjusted gross income.
That's all it is.
Where that income is from.
Yeah, so if you have Social Security income, maybe it's just pension income, maybe you take interest and dividends or draw money from your investment account through an IRA or whatever it might be, and you don't have any earned income, it still doesn't matter. It's about adjusted gross income, whatever that number is on the bottom of your tax return. So now granted, for many people that may be listening to this show even, you might say, well, you know, a $1,200 check is not going to make or break me. But I think what's more interesting is what the unemployment numbers are going to look like. This is a huge benefit.
We should add one caveat to that, though, as well, is that if you have children,
you
also get $500 additional dollars for each child. And as a married couple, of course, you'd get $2,400. So there are some provisions in there for children.
Yeah, so as a married couple, if your income is under $150,000, if your adjusted gross income
Correct.
Is under $150,000, you'll be eligible for this. But in reality, the check's not going to show up for a few weeks. And that's really it. It's not like it's money that's going to land in your pocket tomorrow. And by the way, if you've paid your taxes electronically, if you've had the money either deposited directly into your bank account or you've paid your taxes by having money pulled from your bank account, it's going to be very easy for the government to send you your rebate check. Yeah. However, if you've written a check to the government, it may be a little bit more challenging. They're going to get you the check. There's going to be portals and ways to figure out how to get that check, but it will be a little bit slower, I think.
Right. It will take some time because they have to actually physically mail a check to you.
Right. But what's more interesting to me is, you know, look, the unemployment numbers came in last week and they showed almost 3 million people filed for unemployment. More than, we used to average about 200,000 jobless claims every week. And this time we came in with 3 million jobless claims. So Steve Mnuchin and his team on the COVID-19 task force are working hard to create portals and facilities for people to be able to register and sign up for unemployment benefits. They're going to start to come out to you sooner than you might have expected, but there's some bonuses that go along with this. Marion, you want to share some of those thoughts?
Yeah, so the federal government will be adding $600 per week to unemployment benefits, which is substantial. As a matter of fact, for many states, the $600 per week is more than what your actual unemployment benefits will be. In terms of Massachusetts, if you collect maximum benefit in Massachusetts, that is $823, was it, Mark, I believe?
$823, yeah.
Yes, so, you know, but the federal government will now add $600 to that. So you'll actually be collecting $1,423 per week in Massachusetts if you qualify for the maximum unemployment benefit.
Yeah, it's pretty significant when you think about
yes.
it. And this can go up to 39 weeks. Now, we are hoping that you are not out of work for that long. And in fact, I don't even think we feel like you're going to be out of work that long. Hopefully, when we get back to work, jobs will start up pretty quickly. The amount of money that people are pulling from the unemployment system will start to drop rather quickly. But I thought something was rather interesting when I read this story. And by the way, if you go to the New York Times, if you go to newyorktimes.com, you can pull up an article that does a lot of frequently asked questions about the coronavirus stimulus package. And it asked the question, well, how much will I receive from my unemployment benefits? And what I found was interesting was generally an unemployment check replaces 40 to 45% of what your weekly pay is. However, it maxes out at some point. So the maximum amount of money someone can get from the state of Massachusetts per week is $823 per week. And that's generally based upon somebody who's earning around $100,000 a year. If you make $400,000 a year, you're still getting $823. If you make $50,000, you're making somewhere around $400 plus that $600 check. But what I thought was interesting is $823. I didn't know, is that a lot? Is that different? Because it's all based upon the individual state from where you're living. Did you know that in the state of Alabama, the maximum amount you can collect for unemployment benefits is $275? So if the maximum you can collect is $275, but the government's giving you $600, wow, that's a pretty big raise, something you've never seen before coming from the government. In California, a state that's pretty large and very well populated, their maximum benefit is $450. And in the state of New Jersey, it's $713. In New York, it's $504. But in Massachusetts, it's $823, probably one of the largest checks around in the United States. So that $823 plus the $600, you're going to get that benefit if you're eligible for it, of course.
Right.
It's pretty substantial and pretty significant. So it's my hope that once those checks start coming, and that's going to be every week you're going to get those checks, you know, nice to get the rebate check of $1,200, but this is some serious money that's got cash flow that's going to be coming to you for several weeks. All right, we got to take a quick break. We want to come back and talk more about this coronavirus. We want the implications of the coronavirus and the CARES Act that has just rolled out from the government. We want to try to answer your questions as it relates to markets. Should you stay in this market? Should you get out? Should you rebalance? Should you buy? Should you sell? What should you do? So many questions, so many things to think about, but we do have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Money, 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 money.
Yeah, we're thinking about money on this show. This is Dollars and Cents. You're listening to Mark Friedman and Marion Gilman, both the hosts of this show this morning. We're live in the studio providing you with some financial advice in a language you can understand. And we're doing the very best we can in light of these challenging situations, both with the coronavirus, the drop in the stock market, the changes in job situations for so many people, and frankly, having to live in the house for so long. Man, it is a little challenging. We set up an office here, and Marion and I are looking at each other via Zoom meeting, and we're doing this radio show with the help of our producer, Jay Foss. It's a little bit different. I prefer to go into the studio and do my stuff, and I know you do too, Marion. But, you know, we have to work in these challenging circumstances, and we are making the best of it. And so I really appreciate the radio station and Jay for stepping up and making this all happen. So that's worked out great. Thanks.
This social distancing is tough, though.
It is. We actually, so yesterday, an interesting way that we social distanced, just to kind of get out of the house, a friend of ours had her birthday on Sunday. And rather than go out for her birthday, the husband of this person sent us all a text, and he said, hey, around noontime, would you mind doing a drive-by? Pull up to the end of the driveway, wish her happy birthday, scream something, bring balloons. And it was really interesting to see how many people. It's like everybody wanted to participate. It was something to do. You know, in a normal day or course of events, I'm kind of too busy. I don't know if I want to do that. Yeah. But, man, oh my God, I so look forward to just getting in my car and driving to the end of someone's driveway to sing him happy birthday.
Who would have thought, right?
Who would have thought is right. Oh my goodness. It's just nice to just get out and go for a drive if you have to go for a walk. The next couple of days look like they're going to be a little bit, little damp and wet. So we might find a new show on Netflix or I don't know what I'm going to watch.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyways, we are here
Netflix
trying to...
Netflix is doing well.
What's that?
Netflix is certainly doing well.
Oh, it sure is. You know, it's interesting you say that, Marion, because we have gotten some calls from folks, even just random folks that listen to this show, and they've called up and they've asked us whether it makes sense to buy certain stocks. And it's interesting, the stocks they want to buy are stocks that are doing well, like Walmart and Roche.
Amazon.
And Amazon, and these companies that are doing well in light of this situation. Now, let's just say this here on the radio. First of all, we do not recommend individual stocks. In fact, we don't even encourage our clients to buy individual stocks. I've said this time and time and time and time again on this radio show. You are facing significant risks when you choose to buy an individual security. You're far better off buying a mutual fund, buying an exchange-traded fund, buying an index fund, whatever it is that gives you the diversification. Especially during times like these. Look, we've seen some stocks that are some of the best known named stocks in the business, and they're down not 20%, not 30%, but 70% in many cases. That is some significant risk. And some of the stocks that we're also seeing that people own, they're facing the reality that their dividend could be cut. And the reason that they were holding on to those stocks was for the dividend, right, Marion?
Right. Ford Motor cut its dividend. Delta Airlines, I understand, cut their dividend.
Yeah, and there's more to come.
And that can happen.
And part of this relief package that the government has rolled out has said that if you take bailout money, you can't pay a dividend. You got to cut your dividend until you pay it back.
Right. And you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how all of this plays out. And very important to read all of the fine details of each and every piece of this. We've not had the opportunity to do that yet, certainly given that it was just passed on Friday and the details, it is a very large bill. Yeah. However, on the surface, and for individuals, not for businesses, it's a little bit more clear cut as to what provisions are in there that will assist those who are unemployed, those who are struggling. And I think that's very important for our listeners right now.
Yeah, I think so. Certainly from a business owner standpoint, you could start to see lines at the bank now. People trying to get loans,
good,
right?
Yes.
Just like we're seeing lines at Costco and the grocery store. Wait till the lines start at the banks, because the line, they're supposed to have a fluid and very efficient system for you to be able to apply for loans. But there's going to be a lot of small business owners that are going to be looking for some money to support them. And I think there's still a lot of uncertainty as to how the cash flow part of this will all work, how the rebates will work. So you can read the facts. But just like you said, Marion, this is an 823-page document of law. And there's a part of it that really hasn't been highlighted too much on CNN or any of the news stations that you're watching, because it really applies to a small segment of the population. But it's a population that we deal with every day. And that's the retiree market. And those that are drawing retirement benefits from their 401ks, from their IRAs, and taking what are called required minimum distributions. And someone on our video call that we did for our clients last week had asked some questions about this. We didn't have any answers, but now there's some clarity. And so maybe you can bring everybody up to date on what we've learned about these required minimum distributions.
Yes, it's very interesting. We were actually surprised to see this happen, but in for the year, for the calendar year 2020, the year we're in, that this bill suspends all required minimum distributions. So anyone age 72 and older, or those who didn't fall under the new rules, which changed at the end of January, anyone who's required to take a distribution from their retirement account will no longer need to do that in 2020. That is suspended. Now, there are a lot of people who need the money, and they will continue to take their distributions from their retirement accounts. But if you don't need the money and you don't want to sell stocks while we've had a significant downturn and you want to leave the money in your account, you are able to do that. As a matter of fact, there's also a provision in there, and logistically, we're not quite sure how this is going to work yet, but there is a provision in there that if you've already taken your required amount, you can actually pay it back. So
yeah, that should be interesting. There still needs to be some clarity around that. We're just not quite sure how you're going to be able to pay it back, especially if you've had taxes withheld to the IRS and to the state of Massachusetts. It should be very interesting. So there's still some clarity that has to come around on that. But think about this. Let's say you're 75 years old and you need to take your required minimum distribution from your IRA. At 75 years old, that number's around 4% of the value. So that would be a $4,000 check that you need to take from your IRA. And that $4,000 would be taxable to you. And some people say, well, just send me a few hundred dollars a month and I'll spread that $4,000 out over the course of the year. Or some people say, you know, I'll wait till the end of the year or time to take it. You have what you just explained, Mary, and you have the opportunity to say, stop my check. If you wanted it every month, you could say, stop my check. I don't want it for the rest of the year because I have other money that I can pull upon to support my income. What we're also reading is that if you've already started to take your distribution, whether it's every month or whether you took it all at once, maybe in January or February, you could pay it back. And I'm not quite sure how the logistics of that's going to work, but that's what they're saying. And some are saying to me, we've talked to, they said, well, Mark, maybe I'd like to pay it back, especially with the market being down as low as it is right now. If I can put money back into my IRA and buy shares at a very low cost, I'd like to do that. Well, we'd like to help you do that too, but we just want to make sure that the logistics are in place to make sure that it's reported properly so that you're not overtaxed or not improperly taxed for what you've taken. So there's a lot of clarity that still has to come from that.
Correct, yes. So we'll have to wait and see on that, and I'm sure every company will handle it slightly differently as well. So, you know, when you have to pay it back, I mean, any of the providers out there will have their own system for doing that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But just know that if you are taking a required minimum distribution from your IRA and you're saying to yourself, well, I know I have to take it, but I really don't need it. I have other resources, other funds to draw upon. You might want to talk to your financial advisor and think about, is there another way for me to not have to take this money this year so that it isn't taxable to me? You could actually lower your taxable income this year.
Yeah, which could be a great benefit in a year such as this.
Absolutely. Also, with markets being as volatile as they've been, and we've seen such a nice run-up in the stock market, many people are finding themselves for the first time in a number of years with tax losses on their portfolio. And you can't do much about it in your IRA because you're not able to pay the gains or taxes. You only pay tax when you take money out of your IRA. But those with personal portfolios, especially folks that have invested over the past few years that just started, they're seeing an interesting opportunity. Mary, maybe you can talk about how we're handling that in our office.
Sure. You know, we have a system where we review accounts because it's very important to take the positions that you might be able to sell for at a loss for tax purposes. You can actually sell those and the same day just move that money right into a similar but different fund or exchange traded fund. As Mark said, we don't do individual stocks, so it's a little bit different with individual stocks. But you know, you can take advantage of having a tax loss in the account and move that right into something similar. Let's say that you owned a large growth mutual fund and it's showing a loss for tax purposes on your statement today. So what you do is you go in, you sell that particular fund and you move it to something similar that might have a similar focus where they're investing in growth stocks, but it's not identical to what you sold. So it has to be something that's not the same thing as what you sold, but can be something similar in the market. And you can take advantage of that tax loss and you still have your money in the market. So in the stock market, so when it goes up, you still take advantage of that.
Absolutely. And the difference is if you do it with an individual stock, let's say you owned one of the airline stocks, for instance, that you've seen has taken a pretty big hit, sometimes down 70 and 80% from its high. And you say, all right, I want to sell it. Take the loss. You cannot buy back that same airline stock the same day. You can buy back a different airline stock. You can buy back that same airline stock 30 days later. But as we're seeing, as what the number is right now, I just saw it, 10 consecutive days we've had in the market where there's been a movement of 4% or more. 10 consecutive days. Usually we'll have movements of 0.04% or maybe 0.4%, but 4% every single day for 10 days, you can't trade in this market. This is absolutely insane. So how are we staying rational during these emotional times? It is challenging. And fortunately, both Marion and I have been there and done that. We've lived through 9/11. We've lived through 08 and 09 or 07 and 08, depending upon which part of the years you want to talk about, that financial liquidity crisis. We are living through this and we remain optimistic. We remain so confident that we will get out of this challenge. We don't know when that last day will be, but we do have some plans and we want to share some thoughts about how we're managing your portfolios or our clients' portfolios in light of these challenging times so that those who are retired can continue to get their income checks, can continue to get money that drops into their bank account every single month and mitigate the fear and the worry that they're going to run out of money. We manage this well. We're going to continue to manage it well for our clients. And when we get back, I want to tell you the secret of how we do it, how we put it all together, and how we continue to find that success for our clients in their portfolios year after year, month after month. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Change again, I let the game change you. I'll forever remain faithful. All my people stay true. I said, make the money, don't let the money make you. Change again, I let the game change you. I'll forever remain faithful. All my people stay true. This is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial with important information concerning your retirement. In a rare showing of bipartisanship, Congress signed the SECURE Act into law. It revamps the rules around required minimum distributions from retirement accounts, and it changes the way non-spouse beneficiaries can inherit your retirement funds. If you've named a trust as your IRA's beneficiary, or if you're approaching retirement and planning to take a required minimum distribution, you may need to rethink your strategy. At Friedman Financial, we understand the new rules, and we're here to provide you with financial advice.
Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor in separate... In separate entities,
there are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands.
Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, but currently located from the comfort of my home office in North Andover, Massachusetts. I'm joined by Marion Gilman, my business partner, who is in the comfort of her home somewhere on the North Shore, floating in her secret location in her little bat cave, reporting to us. How are you, Marion?
There you go. That's what it feels like. I feel like I'm, you know, hidden from view. Always. So not a bad thing, maybe sometimes, but getting a little long right now.
Yeah, if you can find Alfred out front, he'll lead you to the secret entrance to Marion's little cave, right?
From Batman. There you go.
Yeah. So all of our employees are working remotely and have been since Monday. We initiated what's called our business continuity plan, which we started about 3 years ago. We actually established it. The business continuity plan was really designed to handle the situation of if the building were to burn down and we had to run out of it and take our stuff, could we reset up as a business somewhere else? And we did that. We tested it about 3 years ago, and we actually all bolted to my house and had lunch, but did set up everything, and we worked fine for the rest of the day from my house. And so we took it a little bit further this year when we decided on Monday to for the safety of everybody, and out of an abundance of caution, we just sent everybody to their homes and said, let's work that way. And we set up the Zoom technology where we can talk to one another on a regular basis, but we also have our phone system that is digital. So if you call the office, 978-531-8108, if you ever call the office at that number, Sonia or Jody or Christian, someone will answer the phone, and they'll be answering it at their home, believe it or not, even though it'll sound like they're in the office. They'll hit an intercom button, and it will ring over to Marion and or I, and we will be able to talk to you, and it'll be as if we're right in the office with you. So we've got a pretty good system that's working. I'm pleased with how well this business continuity system works. I appreciate our broker-dealer, LPL Financial, who we work with, who's got a technology system that allows us to operate from wherever we are as well. And so it's been good. But nevertheless, when we have these challenging times, and none of us have really worked like home at this kind of rate, we're faced with a lot of questions and people wondering. And there's a lot of uncertainty because, as we've certainly learned, it all depends on what news station you choose to listen to, depend upon whether you want to be miserable at the end of the day or a little bit optimistic. Man, are the opinions out there flying everywhere, aren't they?
They certainly are. I actually don't watch a lot of the news because it's kind of depressing. I haven't found that optimistic station, so you'll have to tell me which one that is. But I find more pessimism than optimism.
You know, it's the tempering of the pessimism. I think, you know, everybody is a little bit downtrodden right now. Everybody's a little concerned, of course. But I do think there's an element of hope. And I hate using the expression. Hope is not a strategy, folks. You can't build a program around hope. But what you can do is you can begin to look towards the future, and you can say, do I want to be miserable today? Do I want to worry about what's happening next week? Or do I want to think about, you know what, the sun will come out tomorrow, and it really will, and things will get better. And we're starting to see little sprouts of possibility, of hope. We're starting to see more and more what they call the PPE is our new word, what personal protection equipment, more and more of that is becoming available. Our country is stepping up to develop, whether it's a vaccine, whether it's ventilators, whatever it is that's necessary, so that we're prepared for slowing down this situation, but also preparing us for the future. And look, there is a pent-up desire by everybody to get out of the house and get back to work and to get back to real life. I mean, I'm feeling it. You're feeling it, right, Marion?
Absolutely. I can't wait to go out to dinner.
Oh my God.
This is really, you know, yes, we can get takeout, and we've talked about that. It's wonderful, but it's just not the same. You know, sitting in your house eating takeout is not the same as going out and being with a group of people in a nice environment. So I think, you know, I'm optimistic, Mark, as I know you are as well, that once people can get out and get back to normal, the restaurants will be mobbed, the malls will be crowded because people just want to go out and hopefully shop in a store rather than ordering everything online.
Absolutely.
I have read recommendations from many people, and I would totally agree that once we can get out, we should go out and support all of the small businesses in the local community, actually all of the businesses in the local community, to keep them going as well. You know, Amazon and Walmart and some others who are strictly online have done very well during this crisis, but now we need to support the small businesses and local businesses to get them back up once they can open.
Yeah, we sure do. And I think we're feeling a lot of that support and a lot of that pent-up demand that we're hearing from folks. We're going to get out.
Yeah.
I bet people aren't going to complain too much about traffic jams for a while.
I actually read something the other day about, oh my gosh, to only be in a traffic jam right now, commuting to Boston, right?
Well, I think it's interesting listening to Erica and Donnie on the morning show here at North Shore 104.9. They continue to still get a traffic report. And I'm like, why are you bothering with a traffic report? There's nobody on the road. It's really, what's the point? What is the point of the traffic report? But, you know, they've got to still follow their rhythm and keep it all going. But I am looking forward to the day that I'm stuck in traffic. I can't believe I'm saying that, but it'll be nice. It means that people are out and about, you know, hanging out in line, waiting for a table. I mean, imagine going into a restaurant where they go, I'm sorry, your table's not ready. You're going to have to wait about 45 minutes, but we have some space available at the bar. It's like, I can't wait to do that.
Exactly. Well, I got to tell you, I don't know whether you drive down 114 at all or have driven, but I live very close to there. So I have driven down 114 a bit. Normally on my way to work, which I drive 114 every day, it's, you know, crazy and all the lights, it's all the people, nobody on it.
Nobody's
very
out
depressing.
There. Well, it's a much quicker drive to the office if you want to go there. But we're operating from home. Anyways, hey, we wanted to share with you a little secret on how Marion and I have learned some lessons that we've learned from 9/11, from 2007, 2008, that we implemented a long time ago in our office. And it's why so many of our clients are feeling confident about the portfolio structure that they have and their ability to draw money from their portfolio on a month-to-month basis and continue to receive that check that they need to support their lifestyle. So let me give you an example of about generally we use a portfolio for many of our retirees that's a 60-40 portfolio, generally stocks to bonds, and we're not buying individual stocks, we're buying mutual funds, exchange-traded funds. So Marion, why don't you try to explain why our clients are feeling really confident about this structure and their ability to continue to draw money even when the market is down as much as it is?
Right, so when we look at a portfolio and we look at a client who is going into retirement, we look at how much money they're going to need each year from the portfolio. So, of course, as you know, once you go into retirement, you might have other sources of income, particularly Social Security, maybe a pension. But most frequently, you need to supplement that income with monies from your portfolio. So we want to be certain that the money you need from the portfolio each year, that we have that in something that is not going to fluctuate much with market fluctuation. Because when we hit a situation such as we have right now, where the market is down and a week ago it was down 35%, we don't ever want to be in a situation where we have to sell some kind of stock investment at a point when the market is down so much. So we always keep enough in bonds and relatively secure bonds that are paying dividends that to provide our clients the income they need for at least 4 to 5 years. So we know that we can ride out a market downturn for 4 to 5 years. And I know sometimes when the markets are going up, we look at this and we say, you know, and our clients might say, oh, gee, why do we have so much in bonds? Maybe we should take advantage of the market because bonds don't make nearly as much as stocks when the market's going up. But you know what? Everybody's very happy when the markets are going down that we have that money there. We have it available. We have things that are very short-term, high-quality bonds that we can say, if you needed money last week, we can say, you know what? We can sell some of this particular short-term bond fund, and it hasn't moved much at all. So that's how we do it, and it gives peace of mind that we can ride out a storm like this.
It's a great example, and that's what we're seeing here. And there's been a bit of a surprise that we've also experienced, Marion, when it's come from bonds. We experienced this same kind of surprise in 08 and 09 when we thought bonds would be relatively stable through any period of time. And there's some of the bond funds we're seeing have seen a pullback, a rather dramatic pullback over the past couple of weeks. But we've also seen the return of their values very quickly, as evidenced of history in the past.
Right. And, you know, so there are a couple different things happening there in the bond market. One is that there are some bonds that are also a little more, you know, rocky than others. Those are high yield bonds, lower quality bonds. So those have experienced a pullback with market conditions. But also we did see some dislocations in the short term Treasury and high quality corporate markets and mortgage bonds, because people needed money and that was the only thing they could sell, and they were selling it very quickly. And so there was a dislocation in the market. Most of that has already straightened itself out. And even in the high yield market, that a lot of that has come back already. We've seen some very nice moves, positive moves over the past week.
Yeah, and there's still more to go on the bond side. There certainly
Absolutely.
Is. And we've seen this happen in the past. We've been through that situation before, and we just have to be a little confident and let the market create its liquidity again, and we will be fine with this portfolio. And so we continue to do this. I mean, I love the way that we've managed our portfolios moving forward. You know, now is not the time to start switching up investment advisors or switching up financial advisors. But when this all does settle down, I will ask you this question. Was your financial advisor reaching out to you? Were they communicating with you? Were you giving the guidance and affection that you needed during this challenging time? This upcoming week, Marion and I plan to do another video town hall with our clients so that they can get tuned into what's going on in our office and how we're thinking about stuff. I hope you'll give that a thought. And if now's the time, when we get out of this mess, if it becomes the time for you to get serious about your financial situation and you'd like to sit down with us, we'd really encourage you to give us a call. Our phone number, of course, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. That's the phone number at the office. If you want to sign up for planning pointers, go to friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, financial.com, and get our free weekly newsletter that comes out at 10:30 every Friday morning. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to our producer, Jay Foss. Thanks to Marion Gilman for joining me on today's live show of Dollars and Cents. And we are going to get out of here, handing it over to Scott Whitley and Wicked Bites. Scott, have a great show, and we will be in touch next week. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.